Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Hey, it's an FBF Friday. That means
we do what we want to do. We have fun. We talk. We're picking out karaoke songs today that you would go to if you don't want to sound stupid and sing a song that you can get through and impress people, maybe impress the ladies, by being able to somewhat carry a tune and or make sure that you don't look stupid and you can remember the lyrics and where they go in the song.
Yeah.
As part of that, we have a guy on the line that I don't think that there would be any better story in the world than finding out what Kevin McHale's go-to karaoke song is, because in all the time I've spent with the coach and gotten to know him very well, I can't tell you that I have any clue on his overall musical taste. I think the Grateful Dead plays a little bit into there, thanks to Bill Walton, but I'm not exactly sure. But without further ado, Travis Johnson, meet Coach Kevin McHale. Kevin McHale, Travis Johnson.
Hey, Coach.
How you guys doing?
They're doing all right.
Rough one for you. Travel schedule was rough. Do the game last night in Miami, and you're already back in the state of Minnesota.
Yeah, I'm going to do some of that country boy stuff. Go up and chase some ducks around, shoot a few deer, and chop some wood and build a fire.
Well,
so life is good.
You and Paul Bunyan. You got it all figured out.
That's what we do. When you're a country boy, that's what you do.
Coach, you're a pretty good shot when it comes to shooting birds?
Oh, yeah. I've been shooting shotguns since I was a little kid. My dad took me out hunting, and I've been doing it my whole life, and I enjoy going out anymore. I don't. Having a cup of coffee and watching the sunrise is a lot of fun. Shooting is a bonus, but I don't. You know what? I don't care that much anymore about shooting. I just kind of like being outside. So I'm looking forward to it.
I understand that. I mean, anytime you want to go skeet shooting with me, and we can bet a steak on it or something, or if you.
Oh, I like that. All right, you got it. I love to shoot trap. Love to shoot skeet. We'll have to get together.
Yeah, we'll definitely have to do that.
Coach, there are days I want to shoot Trap, because that's what Travis's nickname is. They call him Trap J, and there are days that I want to shoot Travis. But, hey, when you come
Don't
in for the Super
it.
Bowl, because when you come in for the Super Bowl and the tickets that Travis are getting for you and the boys, then you guys can also go skeet shooting. It'll all take
That'd
care of itself.
He's, yeah, he just put me on the spot
there
like
you go.
That.
How about
That'd
that?
Be fun. Well, let me tell you something. When the Vikings were 5-0, my son Tommy was way more excited about the Super Bowl. After three consecutive losses, the Super Bowl talk has been stopped here in Minnesota. So they got a lot of work to
do. Yeah, but the biggest blessing you have is the Packers keep peeing down their leg every time they have a chance to tie for the division. So at least you guys have a lead in the division.
Agreed. There's no question about it. Right now, it's just who's going to be able to survive and just get out a little bit of a hot streak here coming the second half of the season. So what's up today, fellas?
Well, let's talk a little bit about, first of all, before we get off the Vikings, can I just say that I outed you last week, and I said that you said that McKinnon was the best running back on the Vikings roster?
Yes.
Yeah, and that hasn't really panned out, though, has it?
No, very bad.
No. Okay.
Very bad, yeah. Well, you know, hey, you win some, you lose some, man. What can I say?
So that's what we're figuring out with a lot of things around here. Including your...
You know what? Their line, their offensive line is really, really poor. I'm not sure that Adrian Peterson could run behind that line right now. But they got another half the season to play, so I'll be watching. I'm a Patriots fan anyway.
I was going to say, you were easily last week. You got off that purple and gold bandwagon and got right back on the red, white, and blue, and you pointed that out.
I was a Patriots fan before it was cool to be a Patriots fan. I turned a Patriots fan back in 1980 when I went out there and went to Boston, and it's been fun the last 3 years being a Patriots fan. Anytime you get Tom Brady and Belichick and that group together, they seem to find a way to win.
No question.
Hey, Coach, man, since you brought up the 80s and you brought up Boston, you know, being I'm a kid that grew up in Los Angeles, tell me about some of those old school games, the Celtics versus the Lakers, because I just, you know, anytime I get a guy who's there, I got to ask. Because it was classic basketball.
Oh, yeah, it was fun, man. We had some more. As a matter of fact, last night I did the Miami game. Chicago played at Miami. I was doing the game, Chuck and I, and Marv Albert did the game for TNT, and Pat Riley was in the back. And, you know, Pat was the coach of the Rylers, the coach of the Lakers during that time. And he looked at me and he goes, "Do you still hate me?" I said, "Only a little bit, Pat." And we had a long talk. We had a lot of laughs. I mean, that was really... Well, that was, you know, I tell everybody, I got in the league in 1980, and the merger had happened between the ABA and the NBA, and there was a lot of stuff going on in the NBA. It wasn't that popular, and it was just a lot of selfish basketball, and, you know, it just wasn't really very popular. Magic and Larry Bird and Magic Johnson changed all that. And then the fact that their team, and it really brought all the popularity back to the NBA and really made it what it is today. You know, before Michael kind of took it over the top, those two guys really set the table. And their teams were really, really good. And it was just classic Celtics-Lakers. And there was no love lost between the teams. And we got after it, man. And it was a war every time you played. And then, as a matter of fact, afterwards, as you well know, Joel, you know, Chuck likes to maybe go out and have a cocktail after a show just to relax a little bit. And so we had a couple of beers and I was talking, and I was just saying that, you know, who never, in my opinion, never gets enough credit for just being, I think, one of the top five players ever to play the game is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, you know, you're talking Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, James Worthy, you know, Parrish and Bird, and you look on those teams, and there was just Hall of Fame after Hall of Fame and great players, and it was fun, man. But I tell you what, it was really a war. That was one of the few times I knew we could play really well and lose, and because they could just play better. And normally on that team that I played on, if we played well, we won. I was just 100% concerned about taking care of ourselves and just playing well. I knew that would be enough for everybody. You could play really well and still lose the Lakers, which kind of gave you that really healthy fear, and then also made you follow them a lot harder and beat the hell out of them more. So,
well, that brings Coach. That brings me out. I guess the signature moment that everybody goes to in terms of the physicality of that series was the clothesline on Rambis. But you mentioned Pat Riley. Kirk is still in the league, and he was with Minnesota for a while too. But do you guys ever? I mean, are you guys good now? I mean, you talk and everything's cool, even though that one play is always what everybody remembers.
You know, I don't see him very often. When I do, I just kind of say, "Hey, how you doing?" That's it. I mean, I've never look. I'm not going to apologize. I'd do it again. My only regret was it wasn't James Worthy or a better player. I wanted to take out somebody. Casey Jones had said the next person that gives up a layup by the basket, I'm taking out. They were running us out of the gym. They were just going up and down on us. And so I was like, well, I don't want to go sit on the bench. So it just happened to be Rambis, and we took him out. And then you know, Pat said it last night, Riley. Pat said the game became. The game at that point changed from becoming a game of just pure basketball to a fist fight basketball. And and we were better at that, and I knew we were. And when it kind of got to that, you could feel the whole thing change a little bit when it just became kind of more of a brawl than just pure basketball.
Well, I mean, for a guy like myself who's won a few fights in my day, it's kind of hard to be friends with somebody who you basically almost snatched their soul out of. You know what I mean? Like, If you grab another grown man like that and do him, like, it's hard to, even when you get older, it's hard to say, you know what, let's be friends. Like, this dude snatched my soul, and at any point we can have a couple cocktails, he gets mad, and do it all over again.
So, Coach, yeah. his guy is
Rich. I hear you. That's like Lambeer. Like, I never see Bill and I'm happy for it. I would have no interest in, you know, hanging out with him. Don't like him, didn't like him, and probably never would like him. So, you know, that's just kind of the way the game was played back then. And it wasn't, you know, the kumbaya, we love each other thing. It was, hey, let's go out there and let's find out who's better.
Well, Travis's guy like that is Richie Incognito. I know that's a shocker, but yeah, I don't think that he and Richie are going out to the club anytime soon.
No time soon.
To karaoke. So you covered that game last night. That was an interesting game to cover. We mentioned it and plugged it because I watched the whole thing and said that you and Chuck with Marv is a great combination. Is that something that's on the table for you guys to do more of? Because I love it when you're there actually doing color on the game itself.
I'm just kind of working for TNT and NBA TV, and they throw our schedule out. And I know Chuck and I and Marv like it. I mean, you know, I know Chuck really well. He's really a good guy, and he's fun. And I think a lot of people see different sides of Chuck. But one thing about him, he's genuinely a really good, very warm-hearted, good-souled man. And I've always really liked him. So I have fun. Marv is a pro. You know, I think Marv actually has fun with us because we're all laughing and doing stuff, and you know, I think Marv really enjoys that atmosphere because Marv's, you know, got a real dry sense of humor and stuff, so it ends up being fun. And you know, it was a good game for the most part, but man, the offense just came to a screeching halt for Miami, and you could just see the trouble that they're going to have. Poor Coach Spoelstra, he just you know, you go from the Big Three and winning championships to they're gonna have a tough time winning games this year.
Yeah, Winslow, the kid from Houston here, Justice Winslow, looks like his offense has gotten a little better. But even with that being said, it's a far cry from where it needs to be in terms of what they expect out of him because of the fact that, as you mentioned, they're so limited offensively.
Yeah, you know, they got to find someone to go to. Look, in football, I always go back to what I heard, and it's like basketball. You have to have a closer. I always go back to what I heard what Troy Aikman say one time. He said, you know, my job was just to keep 5, 6, 7 drives alive by making 7, 8 yard passes, maybe 10 yard pass on third down. Other than that, we had the best offensive line in the game. We gave the ball to our running backs and let them do their thing. And, you know, with Emmitt Smith, and he just said, you know, in the NBA, you have to have a guy in the last 3-4 minutes of the game that can get you a hoop. Because there's just times, man, when you're down 4 and there's 2 minutes to go, you cannot afford to come up dry on offensive possessions. You've got to score. Nobody scores, they win. That's simple math. You've got to be able to score, and you have to have guys that you can go to at certain spots on the floor and kind of carry you home. And I think that's like in football. You can be a great team, but at some point your quarterback has got to make some throws to keep drives alive on third and nines, third and tens. And so that's the same thing with the NBA. And I think Justice Winslow can be one of those kids eventually because he can pass the ball. He's got a good handle. His shot, I don't know, man. It's got to improve, but I do like him.
Coach, can you hang on? We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back. We got a couple more for you before we let you go.
No problem.
Okay, Kevin McKelvey back with us with a lot more as he continues to drive the backwoods of Minnesota, and we continue to drive it home for you on a Friday, FEF Friday, here in Houston, Texas, where we're on till 4 o'clock, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Joel Blank and Travis Johnson, otherwise known as Trap Shooting from Point Blank Range, as we get back to round two with our very special guest. And I've mentioned to you this before, Coach McHale is going to join us once a week on the show. Kevin McHale joining us from the backwoods of Minnesota after a hot night in South Beach. Coach, I came back with some Grateful Dead for you because I figured of all the things I don't know about your musical taste, I do know that you and Bill Walton have dabbled a few times in the Grateful Dead, so...
Yes, I went to many concerts with Bill, Grateful Dead concerts, and had a lot of fun that I barely remember.
I was just going to say, how many of them do you remember?
Yeah, as I said, a lot of fun, but I barely remember.
Okay, so before we get into more karaoke, though, I do want to give what a lot of people want to hear about, which is your thoughts on the early start of the Houston Rockets, 5-3. Came off the 5-game road trip, 3-2, with a very surprisingly big win against San Antonio. Your thoughts on all of that, and then, of course, the San Antonio game.
Yeah, you know, I think the Rockets are playing well. You know, offensively, if they can get their defense down, I think they're going to score points. I think that Gordon and Anderson have been good additions. They spread the floor. They're both really capable shooters, and you know, Anderson made a big three in that when it looked like San Antonio was starting to maybe pull away from him, makes a big three just, you know, to keep always in touch, you know. And I thought that San Antonio, you know, coming down the stretch, I think Kawhi forced a couple shots. They're not as cohesive. I'm not sure with San Antonio how much the two big guys are going to be able to play together. They get really slow when those two big guys are on the floor together, Gasol and Aldridge. And then, you know, Green came back. And Green's 6'5", 6'6", but he's not really an athlete. He's more of a shooter. You know, he's smart. All the guys are real smart on San Antonio, but I don't know how good they are defensively. I don't know if they can get those stops on demand like usual, but I think that the Rockets are, I think the Rockets are playing well. I said all year they're going to, you know, their whole record is going to depend on can they defend. And it looked like, just from the game, it looked like James was really involved in trying to be more of a leader. And I had said to somebody this week, I did an interview, you know, the James is not a natural leader. He's not a really vocal guy. And, you know, there are guys, I use the Magic Johnson, for example. When he walks in the locker room, there's a presence about him. And he's vocal, and he's ready to go. And James is kind of quiet. A lot of team meetings, he doesn't say much. But it really looks like he's trying to develop leadership skills, which is kind of a tough thing to do. I really believe leadership's like a lot of things in life. You either kind of have it or don't have it, but you can get better at it. And I think he's doing the best he can with trying to, you know, really, really lead that team. He's the face of the franchise. You know, Mr. Alexander gave him a ton of dough, and you know, they're going to win or lose on him. And if they lose, you know, the crap's going to come down on his head. So I think he understands all that, and he's doing a much better job of trying to keep guys together and talking and leading.
You and I have talked about this quite a bit off the air, but one of the things I wanted to follow up on that is I said all along, because of the heat he took last year, he was going to probably have close to an MVP-like season, because I expected him to come out with something to prove. But I also said part of being a superstar is you got to make the players around you better. I'm just curious your thoughts. Can he do that? And then as kind of the spinoff second part of that question is, their second unit scares me because there's no one that can really they can get offense from on that second unit, and that worries me. Their depth on the B team, if you will.
Yeah, you know, my big thing with James is a scorer at heart. So that doesn't mean he can't pass the ball. He really can pass the ball. He's got tremendous vision. He's a great offensive player. His defense is, you know, he looks like he's trying harder at it. He's never been a good defender his whole life, but at Arizona State he wasn't a good defender. But I think, you know, he's working at it, and he's just got to become an adequate defender. Just can't be a total liability on that end. But yes, James can make players better around him. My big thing is when they start missing some shots and things get tight, is he going to keep trusting them, keep moving the ball, and keep doing all those things he needs to do to make your teammates better, especially down the stretch? I mean, you know, simple basketball, if there's two on the ball, you've got to get off the ball, because now you've drawn two, which James does a lot. Then you throw back. It allows your four offensive guys to play against three defensive guys, and that makes everybody better. Four-on-three basketball is what the NBA is about. You got to have that one guy that draws two. James does that. Will he get off it, you know, when things aren't going well? That's his next big step. Yeah, their second unit, again, we talked about this, Joel, on and off the air. I'm not sure what Monte Unis is going to do, but he's a guy in that second unit. You can throw a ball down in the post. And in my last year,
having some technical difficulties with the cell phone, Coach. Nick, can we check? We should be okay. Let me know. Okay, you got us?
I got you.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry, we lost you on Demo.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, the year that we won 56 games and went to the Western Conference Finals, we closed a lot of games with getting the ball to Demo. And, you know, I just think if he comes back, it'll give that second unit someone to go to with the ball. And I think D'Antoni's still figuring out who is going to be a second unit. How are they going to play? The character of their team is not completely fleshed out yet. You know, who's going to be their best small group, their best big group? You know, like you say, their second unit. And they've got a lot of stuff, but the one thing they have the ability to really score the ball. And at the end of the day, I've said it a million different times, they don't count stops on the scoreboard. They count shots that go in. They count points, and they can put points on the board. They just have got to get enough stops that we had talked before. You can't get 120 and lose by 8 to Cleveland without giving up 128 in regulation. So their defense is going to be the key to everything.
I agree, Coach. And that was where my next question was going, was the fact that when we talked about James becoming a leader, if he doesn't give the proper effort on the defensive side of the ball, why would anybody else on the team give it effort? They saying, if this is the leader, this is the guy who you want to be the face of the franchise. You gave him this money, the guy who leads us to the promised land, but he won't play on both ends of the court. How do you change that culture and change that thought process, especially in that mentality, when one, it's coming from your head coach, and two, your star player won't do it. So how do you get it to where, because in my opinion, that's part of being MVP. It's not just can you score, but if you're not playing on both ends of the court, I don't see you getting that MVP vote for me.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I agree. I mean, that's been James's biggest struggle, especially when his offense starts going south. It really, a lot of times, for me, if my offense wasn't going well, I knew I could control the game with my defense and, rebounding and blocking shots. You could make plays. You could impact the game without scoring. I really felt I could. And I don't know if James feels that he can really impact the game without scoring. And you have to be able to, as you said, if you want to become an MVP, you got to play both sides of the ball. That's been his biggest struggle, especially when things aren't going well for him offensively. His defense gets worse. It's hard because you know what? You end up as a coach having to talk to to the rest of the guys on the team and say, hey man, come on, let's keep playing. I know, hey, James is struggling, man. Pick him up. And, you should, with your top player, you shouldn't have to be going to your other players and trying to pick them up. Your top player should be picking those guys up with his effort and his willingness. Larry wasn't a talker on the teams I played, Larry Bird. But his effort on every single possession was never questioned. And so you follow them, And that, as I said, James is working on his leadership. But it is hard, man, when you're only playing one side of the ball and I'm having a bad game, I'm in a bad mood, and you come up and start telling me I got to play better defense, I might punch you in the mouth because I'm not interested in hearing you tell me something you're not willing to do. And you've been around locker rooms. You lose your teammates when you start telling them to do things you're not willing to do.
Exactly.
And, that's been James up to this year, and he's just got to get better with it.
How's the golf game, Coach? I know that you're splitting time now between the hot, sunny desert weather and the Minnesota hunting weather, but are we done with the clubs for a while?
I haven't played in a while, but I'm getting the itch again, so when I get back out to Scottsdale, I will take them out and I will start thrashing that little ball around the green grass. Looking forward to it.
I'm always available for weekends and holidays, just to let you know.
Is your golf shorts any shorter than your old school Celtic shorts?
I said last night, Chuck, they had pictures of Chuck and I playing against each other. I said, yep, short shorts and grainy film, man. I tell you what, it was an ugly look, man. I like to keep my shorts a little bit lower than my privates. And back when I played, sometimes the shorts were higher than your privates.
Oh, man.
I was going to say, you don't want any fallout from those short shorts, so to speak.
Oh, bad, brother.
Coach, we always appreciate the time. Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to catching up with you again next week.
All right, guys. Good talking to you. Take care.
Thank you.
Kevin McHale right here on ESPN 97.5. As I told you, the coach will be here to have fun games and talk about basketball each and every week. Doesn't get any better than that. We'll be back with much more ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long-term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.